We've all had bad dreams, falling or being chased or whatever, but for people with post-traumatic stress disorder, those dreams can take on a whole different character.
Trauma nightmares are almost a videotape re-experiencing of the traumatic event. It's often very vivid, and the awakening, you're sweaty, your heart's racing, it's a real adrenaline storm.
This is Dr. Murray Raskind. He's a psychiatrist at the VA Hospital in Seattle and a professor at the University of Washington School of Medicine. He got involved in research on PTSD after he started working with a group of African-American Vietnam veterans in 1994.
I'm the only white Jewish leader of a large black veterans ever-expanding support group.
He quickly learned from patients, such as a vet named Don, that of all the symptoms that tormented these men, the trauma nightmares were among the worst.
For Don, in 1968, during the Tet Offensive, he was a rifleman, but his job was to be the assistant gunner for the machine gun operator, the gunner in his unit. And they were very close friends. And on a nighttime, quote-unquote, search and destroy mission, they walked into a well-placed Viet Cong ambush, and in the confusion, a round from his M16 hit his best friend, the gunner.
He mistakenly fired a round from his own rifle.
That's right. So a round from his own rifle hit his best friend, who died. And this would be replayed in excruciating detail during this trauma nightmare, even after Don had imbibed a half to a full quart of vodka just to try to get some sleep. And not only was he awakened in an intense adrenaline storm, but he also had tremendous remorse. So Don came to my office, and he was distressed and had fairly intense suicidal ideation. So I said, well, I've got to do something.
Raskin started looking into medications that might be able to help these vets. He found few satisfying answers.
Don was already on the standard medications that are suggested for PTSD, but none of them helped. Alcohol was the thing. And to make it more dramatic, he was the first African-American member of the Iron Workers Union here in Seattle. So his daytime job was climbing up the girders, building these, you know, high-rise buildings with a substantial amount of alcohol on board just to calm down this hyper-arousal.
Raskin homed in on those adrenaline storms, how the vets would wake from their nightmares, sweating buckets, ready to fight or flee. The brain's version of adrenaline is called norepinephrine. Raskin reasoned that if he could tamp down that chemical, maybe he could ease the patient's nightmares. Norepinephrine has two different access points in the brain. There's alpha-1 receptors and beta receptors.
So I said, gee, here's an idea. I'll give Don propranolol to block the beta receptor. So I did. So he comes back 2 weeks later and says, this is a quote, Doc, we're going the wrong direction. My nightmares are even worse. So this was a bit disheartening to me. But I did know from work we'd done in Alzheimer's disease that the beta receptor for norepinephrine and the alpha-1 receptor for norepinephrine often worked in opposite directions. So I thought that if blocking the beta receptor made the nightmares worse, then blocking the alpha-1 receptor may lessen the intensity of the nightmares.
Raskin happened to know of a drug that already did that, a common blood pressure medication called prazosin.
With prazosin, you have to start at a low dose and then work your way up. And I got up to, I think it was 6 milligrams, and went to group. Don gets up in group, walks over, shakes my hand, and said, Doc, it's the first good night's sleep I've had since the NOM.
Raskin's first thought was, well, this must be a placebo effect. He couldn't believe he got such a dramatic response. So he approached another vet in the group, a guy named Scott, whose recurring nightmares replayed a terrifying memory of the North Vietnamese charging the battle line.
which happened. And one of his jobs, as he was a combat engineer, was to place the Claymore anti-personnel mines in the right position to fight off these attacks. And in his dream, he'd placed the Claymores in the wrong direction. So the MVA came through the wire, and they were in hand-to-hand combat. And then he wake up in a, you know, pouring sweat with his heart racing 120 beats a minute. And he was the second veteran I gave praise to, and he got better as well. And both Don and Scott, and he also had suicidal ideation. And once the nightmares disappeared, no more suicidal ideation, and they were able to stop alcohol. So neither one of them has had a drink now for 23 years.
How durable was the response with the nightmares? I mean, did they go away temporarily or what?
As long as they took the prazosin, the nightmares are gone. It's not a cure. It's more like insulin with diabetes. And many veterans say, well, you know, is this real or not? And they stop the prazosin, and the nightmares come back.
What was that like to see that dramatic response?
Well, it was a bit hard to believe. You know, it was, it's probably my personality. It made me feel terrific for maybe 5 minutes. And then I went on to the next problem.
Raskind kept testing the prazosin, conducting early studies with his vets. Word spread about this cheap drug, it's only a few pennies a pill, that seemed to be treating this implacable symptom of PTSD.
So at this point, over the last 3 years, among veterans with a diagnosis of post-traumatic disorder in the VA healthcare system, that's about 700,000 veterans, about 100,000 have been prescribed prazosin.
But they still hadn't done a big, definitive study to cement prazosin as the go-to treatment for trauma nightmares. That was the next obvious step.
We decided to do a big, multi-center trial in the VA. For 6 months, you were 50-50 chance of getting prazosin or placebo. And we were pretty confident that it would work better than placebo, and it turned out it didn't.
The study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, failed to show that prazosin was effective for the hundreds of vets in the trial. Raskind says he was shocked and dejected. So he and his collaborators went back to their successful older studies to find the disconnect. They focused on who was enrolled in the research. The new big study had tight restrictions on who could participate. The people with the worst PTSD symptoms were excluded. So were people with an alcohol addiction. And while the participants all reported having nightmares, many did not have the characteristics of those early cases, jolting awake in the middle of the dream, drenched in sweat, heart racing, unable to get back to sleep. Raskind believes prazosin works. Now it's a matter of finding out what kind of person it works for. If he can do that, Raskind may have a real breakthrough, one that has already turned around the lives of many veterans.
They've been able both to sustain normal family relationships and the ability to enjoy some things in life. Don's gotten very involved in his church, so he's seen as a wise elder rather than someone who was alcohol abusing and irritable and scary and terrified himself. So he'd give an anecdote. He said whenever anybody came over to visit at his house when he was still living in Seattle, before he was on the prazosin, he would leave the back door and go hide in the bushes. They're able to relate to grandchildren. They're both very people-oriented people, now that they're doing well. They would have been dead by now, either by their own hand or by alcohol-induced body degeneration or vehicular accident.
No doubt in your mind about that.
Yeah, no doubt in my mind about it, and no doubt in their minds about it. So Don says, "Hey, Doc, you saved my life."
Murray Raskind is a researcher and clinician at the VA Puget Sound and the UW School of Medicine.